The Terry Maxwell Show. He's here to remind you it isn't a spectator sport anymore. You must get into the game. The other side's playing for keeps. You snooze, you lose.
And welcome back to Maxwell in the Morning. This is not the last thing I'm going to do today, but it's the last thing I'm going to do on the radio, which is have a conversation with Dr. Jan Mensing from the practice. We call this the practice hour. And we've been discussing testosterone in males. And so today we're going to talk about erectile dysfunction. ED, as they like to say.
Before we start, just want to give a shout out. Much of this came from a book by Dr. Pam Smith, MD. Called Maximizing Your Male Hormones. So just want to, a lot of it came from that. I want to sort of give, is it credit where credit's due? I don't know if it's the right word to say.
No, sure.
And then we have some interesting papers that we've printed out at the end we'll probably talk about.
Okay.
There's a bunch of new things, Terry, coming with erectile dysfunction that we had 10 years ago, had no idea. I mean, literally, all right?
Well, for anybody who has ED, especially things... what am I thinking? Pernod? No. I'm trying to think of the name of the affliction that males have.
Peyronie's disease?
Peyronie's, that's it.
Where they have the...
Right. I mean, there hasn't been anything on the horizon for that for a long time.
Well, Terry, let's just, before we start, let's define erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
It's persistent inability to achieve or maintain an erection for satisfactory sexual activity. It has to be persistent, not once or twice.
Right.
All the time. Well, 99% of the time kind of thing, all right?
Right.
And we're going to go over that and talk about that. There are some new things. On Monday, we're going to talk about a new device. Is that the right word? A new procedure I can give you. In fact, we're looking at maybe getting it in the office, where I can literally, Terry... I was going to say zap you. That's not the right word, but I can give you a certain wavelength
treatment, right,
frequency to your pelvic area, and I can make your pelvis, for women, their clitoris and their vaginal lubrication like they were 35, 40.
Mm-hmm.
For a male, I can bring their erectile function like they were 40, kind of thing.
Wow.
Huge. All right?
Wow.
Now, it's expensive. This is new technology. It's about $3,500 a piece. And we're going to talk about it Monday.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And about this new technology that is, oh my gosh, Terry, huge. No one else is doing it in the county. We're looking at doing it. This is what they do in Hollywood.
For the rich
and famous kind of thing. You know what I mean? But we'll talk about this new technology that's coming out. It is mind-boggling.
It'll be a breakthrough like Viagra was.
Yeah, No, Terry, it's just the things that are coming out are just amazing kind of thing. The most common, 30 million people in the United States, the most common problem with men is premature ejaculation, all right?
Mm-hmm.
30 million, all right? Now, here's...
And the other 70 million are lying?
No. but here's the interesting thing, Terry, all right? This is in the U.S., Canada, Southeast Asian countries, but in Europe and South America, minimal premature ejaculation.
So what are they doing that we're not?
Well, that's the question. Exactly. All right. Now, it is. We don't know for sure, Terry. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's papers being published. We believe. All right. That's maybe the better way to say it. That it has to do with the incidence of what's called metabolic syndrome. This idea of metabolic syndrome is diabetes, hypertension, lipid issues, all right?
And all those things decrease testosterone.
We're going to go into it. We're going to go into that. The whole program today, all about exactly those things. But there is less metabolic syndrome issues in these other countries.
Okay.
And so that there's a lot of conjecture, is that the right word, that it may be due to that.
Right.
All right. Now, we don't. Bottom line, Terry, we don't know for sure yet. I mean, that's going to take another couple of years to know that. But... No, that's really where we're at. The next thing, Terry, I want to just stress for people listening, and we've said this before, but it is so, so important. If you have erectile dysfunction, you're over age 45, 50, It is usually a blood flow problem.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now, I don't care that you don't have blood flow to your penis. Now, that comes across wrong. That's not, I don't mean it that way. But if you don't have blood flow to your penis, it or your vagina or your clitoris, it means you probably have problems with blood flow to your heart and your brain, i.e. you need CT coronary calcium scoring, all this. So if you are listening today and you have erectile dysfunction, you need to talk to your doctor and check your heart out.
Right.
End
right,
of discussion.
Right, right.
I just, you know, we do this every day in the practice.
Erectile dysfunction may be nothing more than a symptom of something exactly. more deadly.
Exactly. I just can't stress that enough, all right? Mm-hmm. Because we see, you know, we deal with this in the practice all the time. You know what I mean? It's no big deal to us. But doctors are missing this, all right? Mm-hmm. And just the young doctors, the young medical students and residents, they're aware. They've been taught this. Mm-hmm. But us older doctors, we're behind the game. I don't know if it's the right way to say it, but we're not.
Well, you're antiquated in your thinking because you're just not that aware of what's
we've not
currently
kept
been
up to date about this area. Yep. So, though, if people listening, if you have erectile dysfunction, talk to your doctor about your heart and your brain and the vessels to your heart and brain.
Right.
Bottom
right.
line. Okay.
Right.
Okay. The other thing is. So we mentioned about the importance of cardiac assessment, you know, and I can't stress it enough, Terry. It is so important, all right? The next thing is there's both psychogenic and and organic causes, and we're going to go through those, all right?
Okay.
But psychogenic means if you have psychogenic erectile dysfunction, these people will have normal erections at night when they dream. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
if you have normal erections when you dream and you can't get an erection when you want to, it's most likely there's psychogenic problems that you need to talk to your doctor about, okay?
Right.
Number two, if you have good response, we'll get into this later, but what was called phosphodiesterase inhibitors, but certain medicines you have good response to, you probably have issues with psychogenic problems, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If your erectile dysfunction is intermittent, all right?
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, you go to the coast and or you go here or whatever and there's no problems, it's probably psychogenic.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
If it is your erectile dysfunction is sudden onset, all right, occurred over the next couple of weeks.
Right, right.
It's probably psychogenic. All right?
And by psychogenic, you may mean situational?
Situational, it's a brain problem. You need
right.
counseling.
Yeah.
Bottom
yeah.
line, that's
yeah.
what, you know, you need counseling. All right? We always ask, we'll talk about it right now. All right? We always ask our patients in the history what religion they were raised. Why would I do that? I kind of, you know, to the average doctor, it makes, well, who cares?
You're looking for guilt.
Exactly. Certain religions are more associated with guilt issues and i.e. then end up with being associated with psychogenic problems with erections.
Yeah. The brain, right? The brain shutting off the switch to
exactly. So and what are the religions are good for? Good for guilt. That's bad. but have more
guilt
predisposed patients. If you're raised, by the way, that has very little to do with what religion you are now.
Right.
All right?
Right.
That's not the issue. What you were raised as, all right? Like if you were raised a Roman Catholic, more issues with psychogenic problems with erectile dysfunction. Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon, religions that have a lot of guilt issues with them and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
These people, if you were raised, not now, and I'm not against Seventh-day Adventists, all right? I'm not against Catholics at all, all right?
Well, you're talking statistically.
But statistically, these, if you were raised that way, it is more likely that you are going to have psychogenic issues,
right?
All right?
Well, and it helps you to filter out the patients that might be psychogenic as opposed to
exactly.
actually organic.
Exactly. All right? And it comes across I'm against his religious. No. It has nothing to do with that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But from a point of view, from a doctor's point of view, If I know that, I know if there's more guilt issues that are going to possibly affect psychogenic erectile dysfunction.
Right.
All right?
Right.
You know, the classic example is a person that it was, let's say, raised Roman Catholic. Okay.
Okay.
And they have a wife and kids, and you know, and have a sexual relationship with them, and they go out for a one night stand, and they can't get it up.
Right.
That is classic psychogenic issues because of guilt issues from
childhood.
Yeah, but
then they may go home and the guilt overflows into what they did, and then they can't get it up either at home.
Yeah, I don't want to go there, but that is true.
Yeah,
that can go into some weeds.
I know something about this. Yeah.
All right. So organic. Let's talk about organic erectile dysfunction. Okay.
Right.
There's a cause. Sure. It's not upstairs in the brain. All right. Organic. All right. Number one, it's progressive. Number two, it's a gradual onset. It took 6 months or a year or 2 years to get this place.
Right.
It didn't happen 3 weeks ago.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So this gradual progressive idea. All right. It's consistent. It doesn't, 1 month is like this, next month it's not. It's consistently getting worse and worse and worse, all right? And here's another thing that we don't know why, by the way. Statistically, this is true, but it is. We have studies to show this is true. We don't know why, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line, if you can get an erection better standing in a standing position than a lying position, lying down,
right,
it is more likely to be organic. Not psychogenic. Now, we don't know, Terry,
repeat that one more time.
Okay. If you can get an erection better in a standing position than lying down position, it is more likely to be an organic problem. Now, Terry, we have no idea why, all right? No, it doesn't make sense. You know, why would this be so? We don't know yet at this point, but there is good evidence from the research that that is true, all right? So the issue, you know, I can't tell you why. We don't even have ideas or suggestions why. All right?
That's interesting.
We're not there yet. Yeah. Okay, that's maybe the best way to say it. All right? So I want to go through the most common causes of organic disease, organic
erectile
dysfunction. All right? I don't know if you want to take a break. Because it's going to take a little bit of time.
Okay, let's go ahead and
take a break, and then we're going to talk about the most common causes of organic erectile dysfunction that you can treat.
Right.
Okay?
Sounds good. We'll be right back. You listen to Maxwell in the Morning. Good to the last mic drop. And we are in the practice hour with Dr. Jan Mensink of The Practice. Oh, it doesn't want to play for you. You want to sing it instead?
Thank you, but no.
Why don't we just go ahead and pick up with the program where we left it off? Dr. Mensink?
So are we live?
Yeah, we're live.
Okay.
We're live.
I'm here. No music introduction.
That's it. We didn't have an interlude this time. So you want to get into treatments for
non-organic disease. Non-organic erectile dysfunction. What do you do about it?
All right?
I wanted to mention again, just as on Monday, we're going to be talking about a new treatment that's available that I can literally, they're doing this, you know, in Hollywood and places like that. All right?
Right, right.
And we're thinking of getting it for the practice, but I can literally expose your pelvic area, men and women, to make your vagina and your clitoris or your penis like you were 35-40 with respect to blood flow. Amazing things are happening.
Yeah,
all right?
That is. That is.
Potentials. Just unbelievable. 10 years ago, was not on the way, not on our radar screen kind of thing. Just amazing. All right. Most common causes of rectal dysfunction, organic causes. These are causes that are not in the brain, psychogenic. We mentioned that for the earlier. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to talk about issues that are organic, that I can change. All right?
Okay.
Well, that may be, that's not totally true, depending how bad long it's been going on. But first is neurogenic causes, all right? Now, essentially, what this is the nerves to the corpus cavernosum of the penis can be affected,
mm-hmm.
and then you will have erectile dysfunction, all right?
Okay.
And some of these are not, these are, once the injury occurs, it's too late, I'm sorry, kind of thing.
Right.
But spinal cord injuries are well known for this, all right? Multiple sclerosis, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We have this increased incidence in the valley, lower valley here, of Parkinson's disease, very much associated with erectile dysfunction, all right? Most doctors are not even asking their patients about this, which is sad, but that's the way it is. And by the way, in Parkinson's disease, I can't cure your Parkinson's disease, but erectile dysfunction issues are highly associated with depression issues, serotonin levels, dopamine levels, and glutamatergic levels, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And amazing things can happen if you treat those, all right?
Right.
Lumbar disc disease, traumatic brain injury, radical prostatectomy, this is a surgical procedure that we do, can get injuries to the parietal nerves. And the most common is what? Diabetes and how it affects the nerves going to the penis, all right? And to the clitoris and to the vagina, all right?
Yeah, because it is a nerve induction that causes the blood flow to change, right?
Yeah, we're going to go into that later in the program. All right. The second issue is vasculogenic. All right. That means that there's something decreasing the blood flow to the penis, the clitoris, the vagina. All right.
Right.
Very common. All right. And the bottom line, it's due to what we call arterial insufficiency. It can be due to arterial stenosis in the vessels themselves. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in males, all right, just for a minute, I'm going to talk about males. Most of this program is about males, by the way. I mean, it affects women, too.
Right.
But in males, high association with hypertension and ED. All right?
Mm-hmm.
High. And we as doctors are not addressing that properly.
Mm-hmm.
The younger residents in that, they're a little bit more up on that as mm-hmm. Versus those of us who are established doctors, been around a while. All right? But, and again, I mentioned earlier, I don't care that you can't get an erection. I don't mean it that way. But the issue is not whether you can get an erection. If you can't get an erection,
why?
You need to be proven your vessels going to your brain, your carotids, and your heart, vessels in your heart are okay.
Right.
All right? That's right. I don't want to belabor that point, but it's so important. If you're mm-hmm. listening and you have erectile dysfunction,
you need to be checked out for that.
Checked out for your doctors for your heart function.
Right.
End of
right.
discussion. It's so important. We do that routinely with all our patients in the practice.
Mm-hmm.
And we catch, is that the right word?
What we identify.
Identify just so often patients that have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
They feel they're great kind of thing. And they're in trouble. All right. Now, hypertension decreases the elasticity in the walls of the arteries. So they get stiffer. All right. The second thing is we'll go into this later on in the program, but many antihypertensive medications make it worse. It's just, I'm treating you for your blood pressure issues,
right?
And your erectile dysfunction is going to get worse because of the treatment. All right. Well, I have to do that kind of. There's
a causal relationship.
Yes.
There. Yeah.
All right. High lipids have been shown to cause erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
High triglycerides have been shown to cause erectile dysfunction, and we mentioned before diabetes and the association.
Right. All right. Right.
Now, there's a group of patients we call iatrogenic. That doesn't really mean much, but essentially they have erectile dysfunction, and we call it iatrogenic. But what it means is that they've had radical pelvic surgery, and they've damaged the parietal nerves.
Right.
All right?
Right.
It can also cause, because from pelvic fractures. Serious pelvic fractures can damage the pudendal nerves, and the person can't get an erection. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So these things are rare. You know, they're not that common. The biggest issue that we have, probably with erectile dysfunction, is the hypertension and the diabetes issues, because they screw up the walls and some of the medicines make it worse. I mean, that's you know, a crass way of saying it, kind of thing. All right. So there's five alpha reductase inhibitors. These are the medicines that we use. And there's some anti-androgen medicines we use for prostate cancer. Beta blockers, all right?
Right.
They're used
and
every
beta
day.
Blocker is another drug for hypertension.
But they cause erectile dysfunction.
Right.
Terry,
right.
You know? Spironolactone, all right? If you're on it, can cause erectile dysfunction. Digoxin or Lanoxin or Digitalis.
Right.
All right? It's used every day. Can cause erectile dysfunction, mm-hmm. all right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that you don't take those medicines.
Right.
All right? People listening, you don't stop it. You talk to your doctor.
Right.
About it. Because you can, you know, if you need digoxin, you stop your digoxin, you can kill yourself.
Right.
I mean,
right. For a reason.
Talk to your doctor. I just can't say, you know, talk to your doctor and find out about these things. All right.
Mm-hmm. The
other thing, endocrine, and we've mentioned this in other programs. All right. But a lot of doctors have not kept up. The doctors tweet, oh, yes, you need, you know, I'll check your testosterone levels. But if your doctor checks your total testosterone, he probably has not kept up. It's not your total testosterone. It's your free testosterone that's the active part that's the importance. So if you have your doctor check your free testosterone, not your total. Mm-hmm. Actually, in reality, you know, like we check both, all right? But total plus free. But free is the more important one. Because that's what correlates with function.
Well, you know,
your total.
I was listening to an advertisement this morning for an over-the-counter thing that was going to increase your testosterone, and they called it free. They called it T. Increase your T. They didn't qualify that.
It's, increases.
They're
your total
probably
or free.
Probably talking about your total T, not your free T.
Terry, maybe there's a lot of games played in this area.
Yeah, there
Terry,
are.
I don't like to say that, all right, in medicine, but there's a lot of games, I suppose. I'm not sure the right word.
No,
there's just a lot of nonsense that goes on, all right,
mm-hmm.
to make money and with very little relation to function, all right?
Right.
I get cynical after a while. All right, I want to go over other hormones that can cause problems,
okay.
All right,
okay.
That are associated with this. And one is thyroid hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be too high or too low. They can affect your...
Either one can. Yeah.
Either one can affect your erectile dysfunction. Prolactin. One of the reasons why I always do on these patients imaging of the brain, either MR or CT, is you can have tumors in the pituitary with a prolactin issue. If you miss, bad things can happen that can cause erectile dysfunction. All right? Growth hormone, the same thing that you need to have an MR, because you can have tumors in the pituitary gland that produce growth hormone, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is insulin-like growth factor, DHEA, oxytocin. That's okay. These are rare, by the way, for these things.
Right,
but there is one that is very common that we get in trouble with, and that's H2 blockers. These are acid medicines, mm-hmm. all right? Medicines that cut down your acid in your stomach affect your erectile function, all right? And we as doctors often...
We forget that.
Yeah. That's maybe a good way of saying it. The next thing is very common, chronic opioid use, chronic pain medicine, narcotic use causes erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, so does chronic alcohol use.
We're going to get to that, Terry. Yes, you're reading my...
Oh, yeah.
Ahead of it. So thiazide diuretics are associated with erectile dysfunction.
Again, that is a blood pressure medication.
Yep.
So if you reduce the blood pressure, that would affect.
These are common, and we as physicians are not always up on these things as we should. Maybe that's
a
good way. Tricyclic antidepressants, very high correlation.
That's funny because if it's a tricyclic antidepressant, it would usually increase the serotonin levels, which should you would think would help.
But no, exactly the opposite, Terry. Okay. All right. Benzodiazepines, that's like things like Valium and stuff like that.
Xanax.
Xanax, things like that.
Ativan.
Ativan, classic, chronic. The people who are using this chronically will have erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Dilantin, seizure medicine, all right?
Yeah.
very common for these patients. The Dilantin itself causes erectile dysfunction, all right? Now, if you are on Dilantin, you don't stop the Dilantin. You go talk to your doctor. I've seen...
If you've associated the two, there's a commonality there, then talk to your doctor.
Talk to your doctor. You don't stop the medicine yourself. Because, Terry, I have seen patients try to be self...
I think what you're saying also is that just because you're on one of these medications, you may not get erectile dysfunction, but if you do, then you need to talk to your doctor about it.
Exactly. Yeah. This is not something you self-treat, right?
Right.
All right. So you may... Other things that cause erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
Number one on my list is alcohol dependence. You mentioned it,
right? Yep.
Literally, Terry, more than one drink to two drinks per day in men or women is highly associated with erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. All right? Highly. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. And for women, when we say erectile dysfunction, for women, it's, they don't get erections, but they get clitoral stimulation. But it'll affect the vaginal mucosa and the blood flow to the clitoris,
right? Right.
So they'll get less sexual...
Enjoyment?
Enjoyment, yeah. That's probably a good way to say it, all right? The next thing is have your doctor check for what we call inflammatory markers. IL-8, interleukin-8, and C-reactive protein. Most doctors are checking today's C-reactive protein, CRPs. And it's very common. It's not expensive to do, but have your doctor check because that will tell if there's a chronic inflammatory process that he needs to look for that's causing these problems.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not expensive, Terry. C-reactive protein is dirt cheap to do. It's not an expensive test. We mentioned metabolic syndrome, all right? That's that correlation of diabetes, patient with diabetic, hypertension, and lipid cholesterol issues, all right? Smoking.
Very
highly correlated. Why? Essentially, smoking decreases what's called nitric oxide in your body.
Right.
All right?
Right.
Decreases nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a muscle relaxer that relaxes the inside of the arteries. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, if you have decreased nitric oxide, bottom line, you have tighter, stiffer arteries, i.e. you can't get as much blood flow to the penis or the clitoris or the vagina. All right? And here's the thing. If you quit smoking before age 50, there's good evidence you can reverse it. But after age 50, if you quit smoking, I want you to quit smoking if you're older than 50. But the risk of getting the nitric oxide back to normal levels goes way, way down.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So people listening, if you're a smoker under age 40, quit. Talk to your doctor. Quit right away.
Right. Do what you have to do to quit.
Now, under age 50, so these things can be reversed. All right? That's probably the most important message. Because after age 50, you still should quit smoking, and there's a lot of benefit to quitting smoking after age 50. But the risk of getting that nitric oxide levels back to give you less problems with erectile dysfunction goes way, way down.
Right. Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
Stress causes it, and essentially it'll cause insomnia issues, and it'll cause decreased free testosterone levels, all right? So just stress alone can cause
That's the psychosomatic one, isn't it?
No, because stress can be psychosomatic, but what we're talking about, organic causes,
okay.
i.e. the stress is lowering your free testosterone levels.
But then when you use a benzodiazepine to solve your stress, that also can...
makes it worse, Terry.
Sounds like a vicious cycle to me, like you're chasing your tail. At some times when you've got one issue and you go ahead and treat it, it creates other issues.
Well, these are all tied together, Terry.
Yeah.
I want to go into, I don't know if we should take a break now.
Yeah, we probably should take a break.
I want to go into the treatment modalities that help and that kind of thing for this.
Okay, sounds good.
And some of them you can do by yourself. Some of them you need a doctor for.
Got it. Okay, we're going to be right back.
talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping.
All right, everybody, we're back. We just come back from our break, and Dr. Mensing, you wanted to start talking about some of the
treatments
for
what you can, medicines and non-medical. What you can, you know, not everything takes a doctor. All right,
right.
And we'll go into this that. But first of all, is sildenafil or Viagra. All right, it helps 63% of men with erectile dysfunction. Helps. Now it'll help for a certain period of time. Often it doesn't. It'll help for a couple of years and then not work anymore. But it's a vasodilator. Think of an alpha. It dilates the arteries in the penis. All right.
Right. Right.
If you are a diabetic and you have erectile dysfunction, it works 59% of the time. You will get improvement with Viagra or sildenafil.
All right.
But if you're a diabetic and you do not take Viagra, all right, or sildenafil, only 14% will get improvement. So there's a good place, if you're a diabetic, talking to your doctor and trying out Viagra.
Right.
All right?
Right.
It's we have generic. It's I was going to say cheap. It's not really cheap still, but it's no longer high price. All right?
Yeah, but you do have to be careful in getting even the ones that you see advertised on TV.
I would strongly suggest you talk to your doctor. Don't go on, is it? I don't remember the name of it, but is it Hymns or Hymns or something like that? But
Hymns,
talk
yeah,
to your doctor.
Hymns,
yeah. I beg of you, talk to your doctor about
right,
this
right,
stuff because
right.
there's issues that need to be looked at.
There's some right? studies that have shown that what's actually in those pills isn't necessarily exactly what you thought it was.
Yeah. I don't want to go there. We've talked about the other programs, but yes, 76%, Terry.
Yeah.
74 to 76% of all multivitamins today don't have what they say they have in them, or the wrong amount.
Right.
All right. In
right.
fact, that's why right. we make our patients, our multivitamin we sell in the practice is, I think, the fourth or fifth best in the country.
Right.
We make them buy that. So
it's part of your tune-up.
Yeah. Okay. The next thing is there's a vacuum erectile devices. I can put your penis in a device that has a vacuum and try to make it get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's just sort of like a suction device around the penis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not impressed over the years. For some people, they work. Most they don't.
Is it worth a try?
I don't. I would encourage my patients not to.
Okay.
Okay. But I just don't. Over the years, I have not seen consistent enough results to make it worthwhile. That's probably the best way I say it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we mentioned earlier in the program. The new technology, in fact, we're thinking of getting this. We're going to have Monday, listen to the program Monday. We're going to talk just about this new technology. But I can expose your perineal, your pelvic area, both men and women, to essentially reactivate the blood flow to your penis, your vagina, your clitoris, and make you like a new...
Yeah. Like a 40-year-old again.
Amazing things, all right?
Right.
And we're going to talk about that Monday.
Okay.
Essentially.
Okay.
About that. Number four, Mediterranean diet, all right, decrease the risks of erectile dysfunction. And it's actually not as much a Mediterranean diet, but the more fruit that you eat,
the better off you
the
are.
The better it is.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And just eating more fruit than vegetables, all right,
mm-hmm.
lowers your risk of erectile dysfunction by 14%. That's quite amazing.
But if you already have erectile dysfunction,
this doesn't cure it. Oh, yeah, that's a good point, Terry. Okay.
Yeah, that's only preventative.
We're talking about people 35, 40, 25.
Who are worried about it.
Yeah. Well, down the road. Well, the problem, Terry, is it's not on the 30-year-olds.
Well, like I say, I was going
to. Radar
that's
screen.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's not on a radar screen, all right?
You don't think about it until it happens.
When you're 55, 60, 65, 70. No. Oh, my gosh.
I sure.
And the horses out of the barn door. Often.
Right, right.
Okay. All right. Exercising. We've talked about this of getting your heart rate up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. To 80% of your maximum four times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Helps with erectile dysfunction. In fact, if you exercise, talk to your doctor before you do it to make sure you can. You're not going to get in trouble exercising like this.
Right.
But if you get your heart rate up, a better way of saying, if I exercise 20 minutes, and I have to sweat. I have to have a shower after. That's enough exercise. 4 days a week helps erectile dysfunction. All right?
Well, it helps a lot of other things, too.
Yeah, a lot of other things, Terry. Yeah. Okay. If you have a sleep disorder, you have to be treated. Now, there is a major problem with shift workers, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are just so many studies with shift workers. In fact, I think it's going to end up being a risk issue for workman's comp with shift workers. But essentially, the risk of if you're a shift worker, because of your sleep patterns being screwed up, the risk for ED, erectile dysfunction, goes through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, kind of thing. Now, I'm not, you know, we need shift workers. We do, kind of thing. But there's a price to pay for it, all right?
Right.
And many of the military right now, the military has tweaked to this, all right? And the military is often putting a, for shift work, they're putting a between 12 and 15 months. You have to do if you're going to do shift work,
you
can only do it 12 to 15 months, and then you have to stop. All right,
right,
because they're realizing all the issues with it. All right,
yeah, bad for your health.
Yeah, bad for your health. All right, testosterone replacement. As you know, we do. I'm a big fan. We do hundreds and thousands of pellets every year. Of testosterone pellets in males. All right, I'm a big fan of it, but it takes a couple of weeks for them to work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the newer studies come out. The average guy, by the way, doesn't know it's working.
Right.
All right. In fact, I talked to a guy this Monday. He's on pellets. It's not working. I can change a woman's hormones just a little bit. Tomorrow they know. Women are extremely sensitive.
Right. Right.
82 to 84% of guys don't know it's working until it quits 6 months later. Then it's, oh, doc, I need it. Oh, my gosh.
Right. Right.
That is classic. Right. All right. but that we know kind of thing.
Now you got about 1 minute.
Okay. Nutrients that help.
Okay.
Number one, cayenne pepper. All right. Increases your nitric oxide to the pelvic organs. All right. Dark chocolate above 85% is shown to do the same thing.
Okay.
All right. Garlic helps relax the blood flows. Mm-hmm. All right. We have studies showing that if you use olive oil, 9 tablespoons of olive oil per week. Yeah,
either cook with it or,
But 9 tablespoons of olive oil per week, you have a 40% decrease in erectile dysfunction.
No, great.
That's huge, Terry.
That's great. That's great.
Amazing kind of thing. Ginseng helps raise nitric oxide levels.
Right.
Pomegranate juice. It has to be fresh pomegranate juice, by the way. Pycnogenol, which is it's from pine bark, L-arginine. You can buy it over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And then resveratrol. You can buy it over the counter, too.
Right. Great.
Help.
Great. Okay, so Monday we're going to talk about something brand new.
Yeah, Monday, essentially, we're thinking of doing this in the office, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of money, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Monday,
maybe the audience can help out by
essentially what we're going to do.
Giving a reaction.
People are going to, we're going to, Monday, the plan, we're going to talk about this new technology, and they're using it down in Hollywood and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's very expensive. We're thinking of doing it for the office. And we're going to have people call in and say, I'm interested. This costs about $3,500, but I can essentially make you like you're a 40-year-old blood flow wise.
All right. Look forward to Monday.
For men or women.
We'll be right back. Right. Got to go one more bite of dust.